My intention this morning is to bring a message out of Genesis in chapter 38 that will tend to the whole chapter. What I would like to show you this morning out of Genesis 38, Heath has been reading out of it the past couple of weeks. What I would like to show you this morning is that there is a such thing as messed up families. Anybody ever recognize that? By show of hands, can you acknowledge this morning that there's messed up families? So this is fitting. This is fitting. All right. In Genesis chapter 38, we're going to notice this morning that this family was full of perversion. Can anybody else acknowledge that this morning with families? Oh, come on. Everybody. We got this side, but not this side. There's all right, guys. Yeah, y'all are the troubled side. Okay. So this story of Judah is full of perversion. It's full of a family that is completely and utterly messed up. Matter of fact, it is a beautiful picture, and I say beautiful picture, let me say ugly picture, of what we truly are outside of Christ Jesus. But this morning there is hope. There's hope for the screwed up families. And you say, I can't believe you just said screwed up. It's true. It's true. Families nowadays are all jacked up from the floor up, man. And I see this so often, even my own. I've shared with you and I've shown you the problems that my own family has. Even between Casey and I and our children, families are messed up. How many families have histories that you wish you could take a board and an eraser and mark them off? How many? That's right. We've got histories and we've got problems. We've got perversions. We have people that make bad mistakes. We have people that take up with wrong friends. People that are in places that they shouldn't be. People that go against their lineage and their ancestors. People who leave what they know for the world. In Genesis in chapter 38, and these are my notes for this morning, on John chapter 10, 32 through 39. I've done this before. There they are. Genesis chapter 38, we're going to be looking at it 1 through 30. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. I'm not going to read them all. Heath has done his part to read this, and he is still in this. And so, Heath, you won't have to finish reading this chapter because I'm going to this morning. So when you pick up next, you'll be starting in 39. But right here in the middle of this chapter, or in the middle of this book of Genesis, we have this story of Judah and Tamar. Judah and Tamar. Verse 1, and it came to pass, Genesis 38, and it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. And Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. Let's pray. Father, this morning we come to you admitting, confessing, repenting, Lord, for our past mistakes and the tragedies that we have allowed to creep into our homes. Lord, we see so clearly that we truly, Lord, without you, are hopeless. Lord, I pray this morning that we would be able to see this silver lining, this golden lining, this holy lining around this story. As we look at the perversion and the wickedness of this family, I pray, Lord God, that we would be able to understand that there's hope for those that have completely messed it up. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Genesis in chapter 38. And 37, we have the selling of Joseph. In that passage, that chapter 37, before that, Joseph has a dream. He tells his brothers, and then they sell him. And then all of a sudden, we have in 38 a story that's right in the middle of the life of Joseph. We have a story, and it's very relevant. It is called the story of Judah and Tamar. Like I said, it is full of perversion. It is full of adultery and all of these different things that we're going to look at this morning. And so if you came to be awkward, it's going to get awkward this morning. So I just want you to know that. Verse 1, chapter 38, verse 1. Judah had been with his brethren. We understand that because they sold Joseph there to the caravan that came through. And here Judah leaves the company of his brethren, which I cannot say that was a bad option. However, where he went was a bad option. His brothers were not that great a company. We understand because of what they had done to Joseph. So he leaves, and I can't blame him for leaving. But where he went was the problem. And it came to pass at that time that Judah went down from his brethren and turned into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. Hira was a pagan friend of Judah. This is important for us to understand this. If you were in our VBS last year, you would have heard this story explained very clearly. This is what we teach our kids, our youth in VBS, because we want them to know the truth. We want them to understand that the world is full of wickedness, but there's a silver lining in it, and there's hope in Jesus in it. But listen to what it says, and keep in mind, we taught this to our youth last year. Keep that in mind. So Judah leaves, and he goes into a certain Adullamite whose name was Hira. This is one of his friends, a pagan friend. He left the company of his brethren. He left the company of the people that he was to be with to go be with this man, this friend of his. While he's with this friend, what happens? Bad company corrupts good character, does it not? Amen. You young people, you young adults going off to college, wisdom is crying out right now, bad company corrupts good character. Don't fool yourself. Don't fool yourself. Bad company corrupts good character. And Judah, while he was with the Adullamite, whose name was Hira, Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite. They were not to yoke up with the Canaanites. They were pagans. They were not supposed to be with them. He was not even supposed to be with the Adullamite. But because he left the sanctity and the lineage of what he was supposed to be around and his family, he yokes up with this person. And there Judah saw there a daughter of a certain Canaanite whose name was Shua. And he took her and went in unto her. Here we have Judah, and he's going down to spend time with his buddy. And when he's with his buddy, he sees a woman and he says, "Man, she's smoking hot. I want her." Bad company corrupts good character. He went to this place expecting to spend time with his friends. And what happens? What happens? He's expecting to spend time with his friends, and he picks up a wife while he's there. Come on in. He picks up a wife while he's there. And so here we have this snowball effect starting to take place. And guys, it doesn't do anything but get worse from here. Okay? So I want you to pay attention to what I'm fixing to tell you. So he went in unto her, and she conceived and bare a son, and he called his name Ur. Does any of y'all have a name, middle name, last name, first name of Ur? That's a really bad choice. I'm just saying, that's a bad choice. I mean, it's two letters. Ur. He called his name Ur. I guess he couldn't think of anything else. Sometimes my brain gets sidetracked. Verse 4, and she conceived again and bare a son, and he gets a little bit more he gets a little bit more descriptive and with a little bit more detail and calls his name Onan. And she yet conceived again and bare a son, and he called his name Shelah. And he was at Chezib, where she bare him. And Judah took a wife for his firstborn, whose name was Tamar. So Judah says, I am going to get you a wife. And so he goes and he finds a wife named Tamar. And Judah's firstborn was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. So was wicked. Do we see something that's starting to transpire here? So he leaves his brethren. He picks up a wicked friend that he's going to see. And then he picks up a Canaanite woman. Then he begins to have children by her. And then his oldest is wicked. And the Lord kills him. All right, now we're going somewhere. He was wicked in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord slew him. And Judah said unto Onan, go in unto thy brother's wife and marry her and raise up seed to thy brother. And Onan knew that the seed should not be his. And it came to pass when he went unto his brother's wife that he spilled it on the ground, lest that he should give seed to his brother. And the thing which he did displeased the Lord, wherefore he slew him also. So right off the bat here we have two kids of Judah who have now been slain by the Lord because of their wickedness. Let's move on. Verse 11. Then said Judah to Tamar, his daughter-in-law, remain a widow at thy father's house till my youngest son Shelah be grown. For he said, lest peradventure he die also as his brethren did. And Tamar went and dwelt in her father's house. So she went and dwelt in her father's home. She is waiting for Shelah to be old enough to marry. Judah made this promise to her. Said, Tamar, you were married to the rest of my boys, and they all died. You're going to have my youngest son, but he's still too young. So wait. Go to your father's house and wait. Verse 12. And in the process of time, years went by, the daughter of Shua, Judah's wife, died. Judah's wife died. So now we have Judah, who is what? A widow, right? Everybody, a widower? Everybody agree with that? We're all on the same page. All right, this is a narrative that's huge, but we're going to get it this morning. Listen to what it says. So in the process of time, Judah's wife died, and Judah was comforted, and went up unto his sheep shears to Timnah, he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. Here we have bad company corrupting good character again. So instead of seeking comfort and joy and love from his family, remember Judah had a lot of brothers. Instead of going back and seeking love from them and comfort from them, he goes back to the man that introduced him to his wife, the Canaanite. Listen to what it says. He and his friend Hira, the Adullamite. Adullamite, Hira was bad news for Judah. Do you know people that are bad news for one another? Do you know people that have friends that are bad news for one another? It happens. It happens. We yoke up with people and they're bad influences, they're bad news, and then we have lifelong problems that stem from these unhealthy relationships that we pick up that we know better. We know better. Listen to what it says. So he's with the Adullamite, and it was told Tamar, saying, Tamar, remember she's still in waiting. Behold, thy father-in-law goes up to Timnah to shear his sheep. And she put forth her widow garments off from her, and covered her with a veil, and wrapped herself, and sat in an open place, which is by the way to Timnah. For she saw that Shelah was grown, and she was not given unto him to wife. So she's in her mind, she's like, look, guys, I'm getting past the age of having kids. There's a problem here. Sheila's not going to be my wife because Judah's not going to give him to me. So I'm going to do something about it. A couple of different things going on here. Judah didn't keep his word, first off. Judah should have kept his word and give Sheila to wife to Tamar, and he wouldn't be in the position that he's in now. But he doesn't do that. The second problem we see is that she does not stay there, but she goes and she dresses up and she goes and waits. Verse 15. When Judah saw her, he thought her to be a harlot. Now, why did he think her to be a harlot? Because she was dressed like one. Let's think about this. If you dress like a harlot, people are going to think you're a harlot. I mean, is this common sense or what, guys? This woman was dressed like a harlot. You say, well, Brother Matthew, how was that? I don't know. I know she had veils and I know she had all this stuff on. That must have been the dress code back then for harlots. I have no idea. But the people could tell that she was dressed like one. All right? So this is what we have. She is dressed up like a woman of the night. And it says that she had covered her face. That must have been a prerequisite to look like that. I don't know. Verse 16. And he turned unto her by the way and said, go to, I pray thee, let me come in unto thee. For he knew not that she was his daughter-in-law. So this messed up situation is fixing to get worse. Because here Judah is fixing to go in unto his daughter-in-law and he doesn't know it. But she does. She does. Does she stop him? No. So not only is Tamar wrong, but Judah is wrong for seeking an adulterous relationship or a wicked relationship. He says, I'm going to go have a good time, and that's it. God's word leaves nothing out, does it? Amen. Leaves nothing out. I pray thee, let me come in unto thee, for he knew not that she was the daughter-in-law. And she said, what wilt thou give me that thou mayest come in unto me? And he said, I will send thee a kid from the flock. And she said, wilt thou give me a pledge till thou send it? He said, what pledge shall I give thee? And she said, thy signet and thy bracelets and thy staff that is in thine hand. And he gave it her and came in unto her, and she conceived by him. Her father-in-law. Now that is messed up. Guys, this is messed up. Right here in the middle of the story of Joseph, we have a story about a relationship that is so messed up that I have to look for words to try to describe it as I'm preaching it. Because God's word leaves nothing out. You know, Moses, when he was writing Genesis, he could have put all the good stuff in there. Left out all the bad, right? Well, why is the bad in there? Because it's inspired. Well, that too. But the bad's in there to show us that these people are truly human. Judah, the lineage of Christ, was wicked. Listen to what it says. Let's move on. And Judah sent the kid by the hand of the friend, the Adullamite. Here's his friend. He's still with him. to receive his pledge from the woman's hand, but he found her not. Then he asked the men of that place, saying, where is the harlot that was openly by the wayside? And they said, there was no harlot in this place. And he returned to Judah and said, I cannot find her. And also the men of the place said that there was no harlot in this place. And Judah said, let her take it to her, lest we be shamed. Behold, I sent this kid, and thou hast not found her. And it came to pass about 3 months after that it was told Judah, saying, Tamar, thy daughter-in-law, hath played the harlot. And also, behold, she is with child by whoredom. And Judah said, bring her forth and let her be burnt. Judah has no idea that she is with child with his baby. And he says, she's a harlot, she's played the whore, bring her to me, I'm burning her at the stake. Man, the sin thing just compounds one on another, on another, on another, on another. When she was brought forth, she sent to her father-in-law saying, by the man whose these are, am I with child? And she said, discern, I pray thee, whose these are, the signet, the bracelets, and the staff. She comes and she says, I am with child by the man who these bracelets, staff, and signet belong to. She says, discern, I pray thee, whose these are, the signet, bracelets, and staff. And Judah acknowledged them and said, and he knows he's busted right here. He says, oops. Oops, I messed up. How many people have messed up? How many people have been caught in it? It's bad messing up. It's even worse getting caught, isn't it? Oops, I messed up. She had been more righteous than I, because that I gave her not to Shelah my son, and he knew her again no more. And it came to pass in the time of her travail that, behold, twins were in her womb. I mean, he didn't just have one that came out of this relationship. He had two that came out of this relationship. And it came to pass when she travailed that the one put out his hand, and the midwife took and bound upon his hand a scarlet thread, saying, this came out first. So that would have been the one that would have been technically considered to have been born first. And it came to pass, as he drew back his hand, that behold, his brother came out, and she said, how hast thou broken forth this breach be upon thee? Therefore his name was called Perez. And afterward came out his brother that had the scarlet thread upon his hand, and his name was called Zerah. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. I love the lineage of Christ. We have it in Luke. We have it in Matthew. Here in Matthew in chapter 1, we have it, and it begins there with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we know after that comes Judah. And so if you go into the other ones, it goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And so one thing that I love about the lineage of Christ is that it does show this is not a type of Christ. This is the actual line of Christ. It is not a shadow of him or a type. It's an actual line. The very lineage, the bloodline of Christ. We see that we can trace it back to Abraham, but we can also trace it back to Adam and Eve. And listen to what Matthew in chapter 1 and verse 1 through 3 says. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begins with Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. And Judas begot Perez. Right here in the lineage of Christ, we have the twin that came from Judah and that came from Tamar. Right here in the lineage of Christ. In the New Covenant, in the New Testament, some of the first words that's uttered, Perez, that came out of a wicked, perverted, scandalous relationship. But church, here's the truth. Here's the truth. Jesus Christ sprang from wicked and corrupt souls that needed a Savior just like you and just like me. The bloodline of Christ shows us that even in bad mistakes, screwed up families, bad history, bad past, bad sins, wicked abominations, perverted people, that Christ Jesus came to set this type of person free. And one thing that we have to realize this morning, that in this silver lining, in this horrible story of Judah and Tamar, came Jesus Christ. And this is the truth. This is the truth. For all of our messed up families and for all of our messed up histories, all our messed up pasts, all these wicked perversions and all these different places that our mind has gone to, our heart has went to, that we have lusted after and that we have desired to have that's not holy, Jesus Christ came to set us free from those past problems and past sins. The lineage of Christ gives us truly, going all the way back to Adam, an accurate depiction of who we are. It shows us that we are wicked. It shows us that we are completely undone. It shows us that we completely came from Adam and Eve. That we are of them. That we have messed up and that we are altogether void of anything and everything that is good. Moses wrote down the good, Moses wrote down the bad, and he wrote down the ugly. Yes, yes. And the reason why he wrote these things down is for us to see is that the prophets and the priests were human beings just like you and just like me. That they messed up, they screwed up, and they made ultimate failures of themselves. But despite all of that, and outside of all of those failures, we still have hope in Jesus Christ. This morning, if you're holding on to a past sin that's complete, you got you bumfuzzled and tore up, and you just can't get past it. Judah and Tamar did too. Y'all realize that? I mean, that story, I don't even like reading it out loud because it makes me awkward reading it. They had a horrible past. They had a horrible history. But Jesus came out of it. And this morning, what I want to tell you is, despite the failures and the faults and the different things and the past sins and all the stuff that you have been through, maybe you've even been convicted of things, Jesus Christ came to set you free. The silver lining this morning is Jesus. Amen. It's always been Jesus. And it will always be Jesus. And so you might as well give your messed up life, your messed up history, every failure and every fault to the only one that's able to do away with it. And that's Jesus. The story of Judah and Tamar has got to be one of the worst in the scriptures. Right there in the life of Joseph, we have Judah, we have Tamar. But out of that came Christ Jesus. And so, quite literally, guys, Christ Jesus can take your history and everything that you've done in the past that you're holding on to, and He can set you free of those things. And what you have to do is trust Him with it. Amen. By faith and repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. Give Him the things that you're not able to pay. You reckon Judah and Tamar wanted that to be written down in the Word of God? No, absolutely not. But the Lord did. Yes. For us to see and for us to glean from. Trust in Jesus this morning. Let's pray.